You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you too, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm doing great.
Yeah. Where are we right now, John David?
We're still in Las Vegas, and we're on the show floor.
We are still
and
in Las
awesome.
Vegas.
They've actually it's
we're after hours on the show floor, which is kind of cool.
Las Vegas.
Yeah. After hours. You know, oh, dude, this is taking me back. Actually, do you remember when we did our first live shows that we did in the evenings?
Yeah.
Because they were in the mornings. And you're like, oh, you know, I can't wake up this early and everything else. You know, like, oh, life
it's
is
like 8 a.m.
Life is so stressful for me, John David Cole, before being married and having kids and everything, and owning a shop. It's just, I can't wake up this early in the morning.
What an idiot.
The youth, the bliss of youth.
That's so funny.
But so this is the thing, right? So we used to do them in the morning. I would have Pop-Tarts for you. You remember that?
Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah, I'd have Pop-Tarts for you. We come, we do it in the mornings, but then occasionally we do it in the evenings because you just couldn't make it work in the morning. So we did the after hours, the Country Squire Radio after dark.
Right.
And it was fun. It was kind of a different energy. Honestly, this is kind of taking me back to that because now, you know, we last week we had kind of our show from the showroom floor with all the hustle and bustle that was going on. Right now we get a chance to actually do a little after hours and kind of some reflection, which I'm really excited to do with you, like, for this episode. So we talked about it last week about the fact that, you know, with a show like this, you got Brian Levine, you got somebody who has existed in the industry from every single angle.
Yeah.
To some capacity.
A lot of different standpoints, you know. And
He's worn so many different hats and he's seen it from so many different ways. And he is uniquely positioned to create a show just like this one.
Yeah.
Where you have this blending of longtime pipe smokers, newer pipe smokers. You've got YouTube channels that are just popping up. And even like we were talking about this yesterday, I think, last night, about how the media around pipe smoking has changed significantly in the last 10 years. When you and I went to Chicago the first time, we set up we had a table. They were so, it wasn't Chicago that brought us out. It was STG, as I recall.
Oh, that's right.
STG.
Yeah, for this Pipe Life, I think.
STG brought us out to help promote this Pipe Life. They gave us a table and we were right there at the opening door.
Yeah.
The Chicago Pipe Show, I mean, like, again, this was back in the day and everything. They didn't know who we were. They know us from Adam, and we were kind of popping off back then. We were kind of making some fairly big waves in our space.
Sure.
But our space, despite being like the pipe space, wasn't kind of the establishment, let's say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was interesting because we had people come to our table like saying, like, all right, well, now what station are y'all in? Like, okay, well, it's a podcast. All right, now what's
is that
a podcast?
AM or FM?
Exactly.
Right. Do I get that on my Victrola?
Wait, hang on. What? What's a Victrola?
Victrola, those things that you see at the flea markets where you crank the thing on the side and it's got the big horn coming out of it.
Oh, yeah, those
like,
are cool.
You know the RCA dog that's sitting in front of the little... Yeah,
That's cool. All right. I wish, you know, that would be
from 1920.
Sweet. Yeah, a little horn thing and everything. All right. But the point is that, like, so much has changed over the last 10 years. And even,
it
like...
It really has. It's amazing.
When we entered into the space, like, things were at a point of change as well. And what we experienced coming in as podcasters...
Yeah, sure.
...was an industry that, frankly, didn't know what to do with us.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to do with this.
I think that is very accurate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, we were speaking to and connecting with a consumer base that knew exactly what to do with this.
Yeah, because they were listening to podcasts.
Because they were listening to podcasts. They were discovering podcasts. And back then, it was very early. It was you and me and Brian and Monstrosity Pipes.
Yeah.
Oompaw Pipes.
Yep.
And that was...
Oli Sylvester.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And Oli was even like, and I mean, he'll tell you, I mean, he was only like half in it at that point.
Yeah.
Like, he was just kind of dabbling from time to time. But like, you talk about like doing this professionally, continuously.
Yeah.
Essentially, it was Brian and us, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Now, as the industry as the consumer base has changed.
Look at how the content creation has followed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the content creation, and you are seeing YouTube and pipe channel, like, are you seeing YouTube channels and you are seeing a podcast? You are seeing people doing things at a caliber that is fantastic. Like, and compared to what we were doing in the early days, nowhere near the quality. Like, their quality is so nowhere.
So
like,
much
we were
better.
So worse than this. Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're so much better than we were.
And you're seeing it from folks that just have a few extra hours a day. I mean, it's not like these are folks that are in the industry. Or,
this is passion.
This is a passion project.
That's
for a
exactly
lot of people.
Right.
Particularly even on Instagram. You know, and I know you don't.
No,
you
but
don't
that's
like
that's
Instagram,
true. Yeah, say that.
But the thing about Instagram is like, people are literally just becoming pipe. I mean, look at Neil Osborne. Like, this is someone that has become a pipe kind of
celebrity, essentially.
Celebrity,
yeah.
Because of what he posts on Instagram.
Isn't that crazy?
And,
yeah.
And like, the just people being able to follow and the community that breeds. It's really it's. It's breathtaking,
yeah.
You know, and it comes from the consumer,
yeah.
Which is crazy. It's not, you know, some big company trying to push something on you. It's not, you know, someone running, you know, some organization that, you know, is trying to promote something. It's coming from the people that are just enjoying their pipes.
Yeah, this is what I kind of want to talk about, man, because I think this is so interesting. Because if you think, and you're right, there's kind of an industry push and there is a consumer. And I think what we have experienced in our time sitting in this kind of middle ground, because you are an industry person at this point.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
You're a master of pipes. You know, you are that. I am a consumer. I am like in the industry to the extent that I'm on this podcast and that is it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, we have seen over the last, you know, almost 10 years, this tension between these two spheres where there is at times a lot of negativity that you hear from the industry, but a lot of excitement that you hear from the consumer.
From the consumer.
Right?
Yeah.
And part of that is because part of, you know, as the consumer has changed, as the tastes have changed, it might be different from what the industry was doing in the past.
Yeah.
Now, I always try to reiterate this on the show because I think people need to hear it and be reminded of this. Pipes as an industry, pipe tobacco as well, but pipes and pipe tobacco as an industry, if you look at the history, has always been an innovative industry. Like,
yeah.
I've been shocked as I have learned from you some of the innovations that we've seen and like over the like decades and like, you know, hundreds of years of things have changed.
Sure.
You think it's like, oh, it's just a pipe, you know, put the pipe. No. So many different and some frankly bad ideas, because that's part of, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what works and that here and there. But at the same amount of time, we've seen so many different shapes and styles and little gizmos and gimmicks that you're still seeing enter into the market even today.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's this energy that you get from the newer pipe smoker I would just say from where the consumer base is right now, broadly, there's an excitement and there's an industry.
Yeah.
Or there's an excitement and there's an energy, I should say.
Yeah.
But the tension is that historically, during our tenure thus far, is that the industry hasn't really met that same level of energy and excitement broadly. Not
right.
Again, there's obvious exceptions
and
in there.
And let's flesh that out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, let's do it.
When you say the industry hasn't met that or the industry has been more negative, I guess what I think I'm understanding you say is like they have been. A lot of people in the pipe industry, or certainly the tobacco industry, have been down on the future of pipe smoking.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And you have...
It's been kind of a, oh, well, we're a dying breed, and oh, well, you know...
The numbers 20 years ago.
These numbers are okay, but gosh, it's nothing compared to what it was in 1968. You know, boy, in 1968, it sure was great, and they were making this and this. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, well, okay, you can have that attitude, but look at all these consumers that are eager and excited about what is out there.
Right.
And they are literally creating the future of our hobby.
Yes, they are. It's not even just creating. It's the present. Exactly.
And so you've got folks that are innovating, and so it's almost forcing the industry to catch up.
That's, you know,
with the consumer.
Yes.
And with the hobbyist.
Exactly. And I think knowing that, but I think part of that is also meeting that energy on and learning how to step in that space. But I get the challenge, right? Because a part of what we've seen, and we've seen this here in Vegas, we've seen this from talking to folks, and I know that I've talked to different, even when we were on, when we had the hangout and everything, a lot of what ends up happening is you get new pipe smokers in, they'll pick up like a Savinelli or a Peterson, something like a standard pipe. But if they really get in, you know what I mean? Like if the bug bites, and you know what I mean by the bug bite.
Oh yeah, it's ugly.
They dive into artisanal hard.
Yeah.
right? Like there's a shift that comes where you're not going to get as many of the kind of the premium, more standard, more name brand pipes. They're going to go to the artisan route, which in turn, they are now met with so many different artisan pipe carvers.
It's amazing.
I mean, we've seen that here today already.
And there's more and more every year, and it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, but it is different.
It's
and I
different.
Think that's the thing, like we need to understand, and we need to, and I when I say we, I guess I'm now talking more from a, maybe it's just a broader pipedom, whether industry or consumer. Different does not equal bad.
Yeah.
Okay? Different does not equal bad. I can understand that when somebody likes Coke, and all you sell is Pepsi, and like Coke is the thing of the moment, I can see how that feels bad to you. But people are still buying soda. And from a consumer standpoint, that's the thing that we're most interested
that's
in.
That's right.
You yep. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah.
We're not loyal in this situation to Pepsi or to Coke. We're loyal to soda.
Yeah.
To make
yeah.
a really bad analogy. You know what I mean?
We're loyal to type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Anyway, no, we're not. Take care of yourselves. Anyway, the point
Take
is,
care of yourselves.
Point is, man, that I think that we need to look at it broadly and see the opportunities. Like, yes, it is different. And listen, this is where I think it kind of hits a little close to home for me personally, right? Podcasting, I have been in the podcasting industry for the last decade.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I entered into this, like it was very, I started a podcast company in central Mississippi 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I had to explain over and over and over
what
again.
What on earth you did?
What is a podcast? What is like, I had like,
right.
like, you know, like very, like constantly having to explain this to people. And I remember like, because we were in so early, we
yeah.
also got some great deals and everything else and did some government contracts and all kinds of great stuff. And it was wonderful. But I got to a place where I was like, I need guidance. Because what got me here is not going to get me to the next level.
No.
So what do? I turn to the industry and I meet with folks.
And they had no idea.
I told you this yesterday. I think I've shared this with you
yeah.
before.
No, that's right.
I met with, and I won't say which broadcasting company, but I met with a broadcasting
people
company.
In traditional legacy
In legacy media, in legacy
right.
broadcasting. They were telling me about their shows, their radio shows that they did. What they did in a month's time collectively for their entire network of shows, we were doing for Country Squire Radio in 1 week.
Right.
With one show in 1 week. And that's
right.
And at the time, Country Squire Radio wasn't even the biggest show I had at the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
it was just kind of like
amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Gosh, that's crazy.
And so I was like, I don't know what to do. Because what got me here, I looked to the industry and they're over here looking at me. And I feel like there was a time that was like missed in that moment in podcasting.
Hmm.
I look right now to where we are with a show like the Las Vegas Pipe Show with someone like Brian Levine. And when in a post-COVID world where people are wondering what is the future of pipe shows in the pipe community, I see an opportunity. I see an opportunity for these artisanal pipe carvers, for the community that's so excited about pipes, pipe tobacco and pipe smoke
right.
and everything, and the establishment industry. And the moment in my mind, and this is just me, this is Bo York talking.
Okay? Yeah,
this is
okay.
not John. I want to free you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In my mind.
you do you. Yeah.
There is a moment here for the industry, for the more established out there to
yeah,
not
sure.
drop the ball or to drop the ball.
Like,
yeah. But the ball is here, and this is your moment.
So what are you going to do with it?
What are you going to do with it?
Right.
And I think that there is understand the excitement and fuel the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel
mm-hmm.
the excitement. That's kind of my, I think, a little bit of a charge there to the industry, but also to the consumer. Keep fan in the flame of that excitement.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's why it's so encouraging to come to shows like this. And again, we're on the other side of the country. But Jeremy Reeves is sitting right over there.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, Greg Peace is right over there.
Yeah.
And it's like these are people that are, you know, they've been in the, certainly both Jeremy and Greg, I mean, they've been in, you know, premium tobacco blending for a long time.
That's right.
And they are continuing to innovate. They're continuing to, you know, look at the consumer base and realize, oh, they want more. And they want different, and they want interesting and
that's
nuanced
right. That's right.
and creative and out of the box and all this other stuff, and they're producing that to meet the demand.
Yeah.
And you know what, they're here to support it.
That's right.
It's awesome to see that. There's it's also apparent to see some people that aren't here, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
yeah,
maybe, you know, if you're listening to this show and you didn't come and you happen to own a, you know, major tobacco manufacturing company, you maybe next year would be a good year to come.
This would be a one to be here.
Yeah, yeah. You ought to come to this one.
That's right.
Yeah, you ought to. All these people that are here, loving your tobaccos, supporting everything you're doing. Come meet them. Come understand them. Like,
but this is
a real pivot point.
But it is a challenge, and I think this also. I mean, like, I want to recognize that, because it's easy to say like, oh, this is your moment. But I'm not saying that it's not an easy moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the desire in the community is for different products in many respects. Like we talked about, sure, it last week. Like, yep, there has been a big, like, energy in the room towards vintage tobaccos and people like yeah, seeking out and going after vintage tobaccos.
I feel like people are spending more on that at this Vegas show than they are on pipes.
Isn't that interesting?
And I felt some of that at Chicago too.
Yeah. 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 And so like there's this kind of desire to connect to that while also looking to kind of these new artisanal pipe carves and that sort of thing. But at the same time, you know, John David Cole, a tobacconist who is actively blending, creating and making new tobaccos, you know, are still out here finding the new things, pushing the envelope, like finding different ways to connect with the audience. Like, not the audience. I keep on saying the audience because that's obviously the way my mind thinks. But like, connect
the
with
hobbyist,
the hobbyist,
right,
the consumer, the community.
Yeah.
And what they're after, what's new, what's different. And so I'm not saying it's easy, but I do think that there is a moment, and I think that part of it may even be giving a leg up to who you might consider your competitors. Because the reality is, and I know that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, the reality is if you are helping to shepherd them, you're also helping yourself. And if I may, I hope he's not upset with me doing this, but if I may, that's what Brian Levine did to us.
Yeah.
That's what Brian Levine did to us. Because when we came into the industry, when we came in as podcasters,
right,
Brian Levine
was
so long ago.
Yeah.
Brian Levine was established. He was Brian freaking Levine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right,
he was the Godfather. Or like, we still call him the Godfather.
Yeah, we still do. Yeah.
And so, like, you know, and he had like these shows. Then all of a sudden we come onto the scene and we start, you know, we go into this and we're not messing around.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a weekly show. It is professionally produced. I mean, I listen back to it now. I'm like, oof, was that professional then? I don't know.
The professional has become more professional.
It's become far more professional. But like, we came in and we were serious about this.
Yeah, sure.
And Brian Levine, to absolutely his credit, saw us and he wasn't putting us down. He didn't like cast us off to the side.
He embraced us, man.
He
yeah,
embraced us.
Yeah. And that's what makes the difference.
That made all the difference. That made all the difference. It certainly helped us. I'm not going to lie. Like, it did.
Sure.
But at the same time,
yeah,
it wasn't like we could have still like continued that growth and continued moving without his help. But with his help, we were able to do so with a little bit more authority and a little bit more acceptance.
And confidence. Yeah.
And at the same time, that communicated, like, how often have you heard over the last 10 years us praise Brian Levine, despite the fact that he came on our show making fun of us?
Right? Yeah, he's a total jackwagon. Yeah.
I know. But there is a reason why we show respect.
Yeah,
there
sure
is a reason why we see him as the Godfather.
Sure.
And this is where, again, I put it back on kind of, you know, it's funny because I really wanted to make this episode about, like, encouraging the consumer. You've got power and be excited. And this is a great thing.
Sure.
And I didn't want to make it like as like a constant charge to the industry, but I really, I look at somebody like Brian Levine and what he is doing right now in the industry. And I am telling you, if you are a legacy pipe tobacco company and you are not like reaching out to this guy, and he might turn you down. He's Brian, you know how it is. But like, the fact of the matter, if you're not reaching out to him and trying to get him as a consultant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
just trying to understand your consumer base better, if at all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that you really have to put the effort into that.
That's right.
I was talking with a person earlier today that will remain nameless that, you know, he said, you know, he had trouble trying to get his, you know, boss to give them the money to come out to this event.
You're kidding me.
When this is a person that really needed to be at this event.
Yeah.
And their company just doesn't understand that.
My
and
goodness.
It's like, that's a pivot point. So what are you going to do about it? You know,
that's the thing. Like, you have the ball. This is the time to do something with it
because the consumers, and I'm a step aside for just a second and kind of even put myself in that category.
Yeah, by all means.
Because I'm a pipe smoker.
Dude,
I just love this stuff.
I big up with you all the time. I mean, like, you're literally a master of pipes at this point. But, you know, you're exactly right. You're here as a hobbyist, as an enthusiast.
I just love this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if I put myself in that category and I can see it all around me.
Most people buy pipes. You bought a whole freaking pipe shop.
I did. I was like, well, I bought all the pipes.
Come on.
But that's the thing. Yeah. Like, you wind up seeing the energy that surrounds the consumers, the pipe that's smokers right. that are out there. And it's like, well, gosh, we better, if that's all the energy, we better do something to meet that energy.
That's
you know?
Right.
And you see that every time someone does something creative and interesting, it is rewarded.
That's right.
It is rewarded. Look at the stuff that, you know, we've seen come from Sutliff and from Cornell and Deal. Gosh, these new blenders that aren't even blenders by trade, but have started doing this,
right?
And become some of the best in the world. Yeah. I just talked to our friend Jeremy Ken Byron Ventures is here. This is the one show every year that he makes sure he comes to, and man, he's one of the best tobacco blenders in America.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a guy that just does it for fun, you know, and it's like, and he's rewarded for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if someone like that can do it. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to me, you know?
It's a fascinating time. It really is a fascinating time, I think, right now in pipedom. And there is a moment, and I think that I feel as though the Las Vegas Pipe Show has the opportunity to be that. What is it? What's a watershed moment? Because I feel like that's like what
a watershed moment?
That feels like the right thing to say.
A lot of change happens.
What's a watershed?
A watershed is a... the thing that you keep your lawnmower in, but it's wet.
Really? Are you being dead? Do you actually know what a watershed is?
I don't, but I do know that a watershed moment is one of those moments that, like, hey, everything on this side of it changes.
I feel as though this is a watershed moment. I really do. I feel like it can be.
Yeah.
And I feel like what I hope is through all of the different podcasts and YouTubers who came here.
And Instagrammers.
And Instagrammers and everybody else. What you are going to see over the next couple of weeks and over probably the last week is people... Well, I say that, actually. This episode's coming out late compared to when everybody else is putting out their stuff. Now that I think about it. So what you probably have seen... This is either me being prophetic or proven wrong. But what I think you have probably seen over the last couple of weeks is all of these YouTubers, all of these Instagrammers, all of these podcasts talking about their experience here, being really encouraged, enthused. And some folks you've never seen come to a pipe show before.
Yeah,
some folks with audiences you've never seen come to a pipe show before.
That's
and
right.
That is what creates and provides this show right here to be that watershed moment.
Yep.
I'm actually Googling what is a watershed because it's a watershed.
I tried to tell you a thing you put your tools at your garden tools.
Well, I was following you until you
like
said it was
a shed,
wet,
and then it gets wet.
With it, you know, we had that
watershed.
We had the whole conversation about the humidors and how you got to wet the humidors. Like maybe you got to wet your shed.
That's a different podcast.
A watershed, it's a land area that channels rainfall and snow melts to creeks, streams, and rivers, and eventually to outflow points such as reservoirs, bays, and the ocean, which, not relevant at all.
Or maybe it is in that, maybe it is in which that is the place where the topography changes.
Oh.
And when the topography changes, then it is a...
watershed moment.
A moment.
A moment in the watershed.
Yeah.
Where you wet your...
lawnmower.
Oh, man.
The old wet lawnmower.
Listen, whenever I wet my lawnmower, you know what I like to do? I get a good corn cob pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right.
Man, we right now... Oh, man. Okay, so think about this. We have just had Thanksgiving dinner. We are just now kicking off the holiday season. I don't know about you. When you think of the holiday season, do you not think of corn cob pipes? Because I think of corn cob pipes.
I always think of corn cob pipes.
What thing you got the turkeys during Thanksgiving. They're smoking their corn cob pipes.
Right.
You got the scarecrows. People
think
put
about
out
the pilgrims and
the
stuff.
The pilgrims and such. And then you got Christmas, and you've got freaking Santa Claus over here busting out his corn cob pipe and a button nose. And then that's actually Frosty the Snowman.
That's right.
You got the snowmen out there.
That's right.
And the snowmen are enjoying the corn cob pipes and everything else. Corn cob pipes are all throughout the holidays. Nothing says holidays like corn cob pipes, and nothing says corn cob pipes like our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right, man. Please go to their website, corncobpipe.com. Buy one today. They will send it right to your front door in record time. And, man, I know they would be happy to see you smoking their pipe.
Tell
them we sent you.
I tell you what, man. What I'd love to see is I would actually love to see, folks, buy yourself a Missouri Meerschaum pipe. Buy two. You buy one for smoking, and you buy the other one so that you can make a snowman. Now, we can't do that because we're in the South, and that's not an option.
Yeah,
for
we
us.
Don't really get
snowmen. For those of you who are able to make snowmen, make yourself a snowman and put a Missouri Meerschaum corn cob pipe in it. Take those pictures.
We
want photos of that, so send those in. And, of course, big thanks to our friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show. Missouri Meerschaum, by the way, always innovative, ahead of the game in so many regards when it comes to connecting with the community and everything
and
else.
A real proud supporter of shows just like this.
Big time, man. Phil was a forward thinker, and to see that legacy continue on throughout
Shannon,
that. Yeah.
Oh, it's been wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yep.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Quick fire with the squire. All right, man. Quick fire questions coming in. This one is coming in from Ben Strahan. Strahan. All right. It's S-T-R-A-U-G-H-A-N. Strahan.
I guess.
Strange hand.
Bill.
That sounds odd. Yes. Ben.
Ben.
Yes. Ben says, I wanted to start by saying thank you for the time you spend making Country Squire Radio. I've got a few quick fire questions for your consideration, adjunctication and contemplation. He used big words, Ben does.
And you have to read them.
I do. All right, man. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Smoke in the rain or smoke in the wind? This is a great question for us right now out here in the desert, because we don't have any
sandstorm,
but we have a lot of wind.
There is a legit sandstorm out there. Which one would I rather? Probably smoke in the rain.
I think so too. I probably would have said wind before coming out here, to be honest.
Yeah. Wind is tough though. And wind is, of course, they make wind caps for a reason.
That's right.
But you know, it's hard on a pipe to be in the wind.
That's right.
It really is hard on the pipe to be. I'd probably rather smoke in the rain. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I'm sitting here and, you know,
especially if it's like a drizzle, that actually sounds kind of nice.
I've gotten recognized on multiple occasions by my cap, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if they make a cap long enough that'll cover the pipe. I guess if it's like a nose warmer, I could probably wear a cap, smoke a nose warmer, and not have it be a problem.
Maybe not.
In the rain.
I know people that in the rain they pack their pipe pretty tight.
Yeah.
And they'll actually turn their pipe upside down and smoke it.
Yeah, you've told me that before.
Which
that's
weird to me. I've actually never, as long as I've smoked a pipe, and gosh, it's been a long time, I've never done that.
Okay, this is a quick side tangent.
I may do that tonight.
Do you remember how somebody wrote in and asked a question about pre-lighting a pipe?
Yeah.
Somebody else wrote that. I saw something else about that.
Yeah.
This is becoming a thing.
No, it is. And apparently Brian does that.
Brian Levine?
I think Brian Levine does that.
Okay, forget every nice thing I said about Brian. That man is insane. Don't listen to the word he says. That's crazy.
Yep. Pre-lighting. Someone would say, because you know what's funny? I don't listen to Brian's show. I don't listen to our show. I don't listen to podcasts. And
okay.
And so we were doing this, and it's like someone wrote in, or I think someone texted me, and they were like, you know, you were talking about pre-lighting that thing. Like, I think Brian mentions that he does that.
Yeah.
He mentioned it on a show, and he's like, well, heck, I don't know. I don't listen to it.
No, no.
I don't listen to my own show.
You famously don't listen to this show. When I told you last week when we did the bit about the briefcase and everything.
Right.
I literally told Brian about that on our show, and I told him, I was like, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going
to
do, and I'm still going
to
surprise
him. About it.
I guarantee I'll put this out to the internet where anybody can download it. We're putting out to thousands of people. John David will still be shocked because he does not
listen. Won't have a clue. Won't have a clue. Here I am. Part of it, hilarious. I just don't want to hear my voice. Yeah. I hear enough of it all day.
I know. You're too self-conscious, man. All right, here's the next one. Never have to relight or never get tongue bite. I don't mind relighting. I would love to not get tongue bite.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Are you so used to tongue bite at this
Dang.
Point that it's just like a thing?
Yeah, I think I would rather not relight.
Interesting.
I really think I would rather, because I kind of get used to
some tongue bite.
I mean, I don't like it, but I don't get it very often.
Yeah.
And I, you know, because I don't know, just as you smoke your pipe more and more, your mechanics get better and stuff. And so I don't have that issue as much anymore, but gosh, I hate relighting a pipe.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I'd probably rather not have to relight.
I don't mind relight. I actually like. I have come to the point now, especially using the pipe, like using the relight as almost like a conversational moment.
Yeah.
You know, because like somebody's talking, everything else, and then you start talking, and then your pipe goes out, and it's like, okay, well, you know, now you talk, and I can work on my. You know what I mean? Like it almost kind of becomes part of the
part
ritual.
Of the dance.
Yeah. So I don't mind it at all.
Hmm.
Would you rather be able to instantly age a blend to whatever age you choose, or be able to instantly add or remove moisture to moisture from a blend?
Man.
From a blend.
These are great questions. As a tobacconist.
Yeah, this is like, yeah.
As a tobacconist, I would probably say I'd rather be able to have a blend aged quicker.
Okay.
Because aging is so even just a few days, it has such a profound impact.
It's
on
massive, yeah.
The character of tobacco, how it tastes. And so I just don't. I mean, if I could snap my fingers and age tobacco, even
that'd
even
be
a
your
week,
mutant ability.
Like even a week, it's like, oh, there's John David. He can age tobacco with a snap.
Man, I tell you what.
That'd be a good gift.
One of the things, you know, we've talked about before, at pipe shows, everyone is so generous and nice. And then when you sprinkle on a little bit, like you happen to be on Country Squire Radio, people like kick that up a notch.
Yeah.
We had, like I've had so many people bust out McClelland, Christmas Cheer. Christmas Cheer from 1987.
That's crazy.
I think is what the oldest one that, like, I've had people bring it. Somebody brought me from 2000.
I don't even know if they made it that.
It was 19-something.
Yeah.
It was 19-something.
87.
It was pre-millennium. Like, you know, pre-new.
It was in the 1900s.
It was in the 1900s. It was the late 1900s. From the late 1900s.
Right, there you go. There you go.
And there was somebody else who brought me something that was from 2008. I remember I sniffed it. I said, you know, I got married in 2007.
Isn't that crazy? That's so crazy.
It's so great. And everyone's like, just take some, smoke some. I'm like, I don't have my pipe on me right now. Like, I can't actually do that. Plus, I'm trying to get ready for a show. But, man, yeah. No, I'll tell you what. That aging goes a long way. All right. And then finally, would you rather bring back a blend from the past that's no longer available or know what the next major collector blend will be, such as a McClelland Esoterica? Basically, if you could bring them back or know what the next McClelland.
Or know what the next one is. Wow.
Wow. I would imagine for you, that's a unique question in particular because
Well, I mean, if you know what the next collector one is, what are you going to do? Just go hoard it so that you can have it when everyone else doesn't
Okay,
have
so
it?
This is... All right, so
is that the point of knowing?
I think some people, that's what they do, Russ.
Or is it knowing so that you can get it and then sell it? Like, because to me, none of that's fun. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, I could definitely pay a few bills.
Some people like that.
But like for me, it's like, no, I want to taste what Three Nuns tasted like 40 years ago.
See, that's the thing.
I want to try Edgeworth slices for the first time. You know what
so
I mean?
So you would resurrect an old one.
I think I would.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most magical things about these doggone pipe shows is that people are so generous with their tobacco.
Yeah.
And they're cracking tins open from freaking 1990 and stuff and
I'll
just sharing
what,
it.
Man,
dude,
yeah.
They popped a tin of cigarettes last night from the 40s.
You kidding me?
There's, you know, a lot of people in our community also, you know, collect just anything tobacco related.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And these cigarettes back in the 30s and 40s didn't have all the additives in them because they were made with real tobacco.
Man.
Do you know how hard it is to get a can of some of those cigarettes? And they used to come in cans.
Right, right. I will say, I've been looking at some of these tables with some of the blends and what the prices they're going for. And, you know, like we come out here to something like this. We do a podcast. I was thinking, like, I was doing the math. I was like, my cellar right now has a pretty decent value on it. You know what I mean? Like,
I know it.
But at the same time,
I know it.
I'm not trying to sell that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I want to smoke it. Like, I want to save it and
smoke it
and enjoy it for the rest of my life. I want to bust that open. I want to bust open that tin of cellar, my last tin of cellar with my grandchild.
Yeah.
You know, sure.
And
like,
you might be able to.
And I might be able to. This isn't enough, you know. Well, no, actually, I don't have enough. So if you actually have some cellar and you want to send it to the show.
I didn't even give you any whale song. I'm not giving you my cellar.
Man, I can't.
No, I would
need,
share.
Need
with
not
you,
be talked about again. That's
I
been
would
dealt
share with.
You, that's been dealt with. These were absolutely great quick fire questions. Thank you so much, Ben, for sending them in. Hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for us, please send them into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Well, man, this is really interesting. I'm glad we got an opportunity to do this because going into the show this week, to the show, I not quite knowing exactly what the structure was going to be like in terms of, like, you know, is it going to be a lot of people around or are we going to have like an audience and that sort of thing, trying to kind of assess what that might be. We kind of went in with a couple of different ideas. One was more of the standard show, live show that we've done, which is talking about the show, pulling on a couple people here and there and interviewing them. And we got to do that, which was great.
Which was a lot of fun.
But there was also the one of like, I want to talk to the moment and like have a discussion around the moment. And I am so glad we had the opportunity to do both.
Me too, man.
Yeah.
Me too. I think it was a good exercise for us. And I hope people in the pipe community stay energized.
That's right.
And, you know, continue to encourage, you know, the people you come in contact with to smoke your pipe, try new things, you know, understand more about the market, understand more about, you know, how pipes are made and how tobacco is made and keep going with this because
right,
we're counting on you to do it.
That's right.
We really
absolutely
are.
Well, hey, man, we want to encourage everybody to keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us at the show at Squire Radio. You can reach us, show@countrysquireradio.com. You can follow John David at John David Cole, the shop at _CountrySquire. But all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, John David, man, we got some more content to make and
a lot
of friends to meet, and this is special.
This is a fun time.
It's special. Hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.